Welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Art. As always, it is your boy T Till, a very special guest in the building. Nathaniel Noble Jr., fellow podcaster, father. And we're gonna get into an incredible conversation today on fatherhood and co-parenting and all of that good stuff, as well as manhood and everything else in between. We're gonna get into, you know, Nate's podcast and what he does and what he loves to do. But let's start here. Fatherhood. Let's talk about that. So you are a father of five, right? Am I correct? Like, you have two biological, yeah.
Four stepkids.
You said how many stepkids? Three or four?
Four stepkids.
Four, so six.
And a godchild.
Wonderful. Shout out to the godfathers, man, nigga. I got six god kids. I don't have any kids. I got six. It's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just leave it there. But yes, sir.
Kid, no matter if it's biological or added to the collection.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start with the journey of fatherhood. So you have two biological kids. Like, share with me, like, the moment you found out that you was having your first. Do you remember that time and like, were you shook? You know, a lot of guys tell me, yo, they were shook, scared, man. You know what I mean? But like, what about you? Like, what was your journey?
My journey was my first wife. Like, we didn't have any kids. So it's like, she's like, man, I want to have a baby. I'm like, you sure? You know, all our little freedom going to go away for the next 20 something years. Things going to change. It ain't going to be about us. And what we want to do is about taking care of this little human and bringing it to, you know, adulthood. So she said she was sure. I'm like, okay. She said, you know, because we was young, in our 20s, early 20s. And she was like, I want to grow up with my kids. So, boom, let's get busy working on the kid. But it wasn't one of those oops. It was like plan, like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
First and the second one. So it's like, but so I knew it wasn't a surprise. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now that we committed, we pregnant, right? So now, my whole mindset got to change. Like, okay, 9 months, pops forever coming in, and now I got to move different and think different stuff. But it was cool. I was ready, you know, because I guess it started back when I was living with my dad in my teen years, in my high school years, and he started making these other babies from his other women. So I was kind of like changing diapers and, you know, my little siblings and stuff. So I had hands-on training with infants, you know.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah.
Diaper so days till they walk. Yeah, so I was already prepared for fatherhood because I was in it with my dad. You know, he still was making babies.
Mm-hmm.
So it came naturally, you know, take care of the baby, change the diapers, feed him. Yeah.
Oh, and so you have two biological girls, right?
Yeah, well, they're grown women, nah.
Well, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
But you were a girl dad, right? So, so what was that like? I know, you know, daddy's little girl and, you know, things like that. No sons. Sometimes fathers try to put them in the sports, you know, just so they can, you know, get that, you know, kind of get that feel. Right. What was that like for you, having two girls, and no sons?
I was like a grizzly bear. I'm going to protect my babies and make sure they, you know, ain't nobody messing with them and all that stuff. And, you know, they take your heart. The girls take your heart. You know, they cuddly. You just want to love on them and be gentle with them, and you know, make them laugh and just, you know, always kiss them and just hugging them and just treat them like little baby dolls and stuff. That was good. I missed that. You know, I missed that. I still hug them when I see them
of course.
Come through or whatever. But still, you know, the little dependent child.
Yeah,
those days go by quick. It seemed like it's long, but they fly by so quick. You know, it's like, man, them to my little precious one.
Man.
But it was cool.
Oh. So when it comes to just the process of fatherhood, right? What do you have any did you have any challenges with your girls, like during the course of fatherhood? What were some of the challenges that you think that you had in your journey of fatherhood?
Well, with my youngest one, I had a challenge of her when she was about one or two. She likes to always go stick stuff in the light sockets. So you got to always be aware of the safety of them too. So used to always catch her trying to stick a fork or something, a butter knife in the socket. And I had to catch her and, you know, tap her hand and make it like a bad consequence. Do not do that. Right. You won't be with us no more. And then, let me see. So child, just protecting them, you know, making sure they know the dangers and stuff. And then teen years get a little different because, you know, and the boys and all the social media start coming around and phones. So it's like, I don't know. I was always in kind of like teaching mode, life lessons mode, trying to get them, get in their head.
Right.
To think, you know, all this emotional stuff. So it's kind of like, you can't be too harsh with them like boys, but you still got to be real with them and kind of explain to them why you're saying and telling them about life, stuff like that.
Right.
So they can understand, like, okay, he's saying this because of this. You might not understand it now, but when you mature and go down the road, then all this stuff gonna be coming back. Like, oh, okay, I see what Dad was talking about.
Wow, so it's like a healthy trying to ride the wave of kind of being like a balance, like having a healthy balance between like real and understanding, right? Like keeping it real with them, but also adhering to their emotions and kind of what they're feeling.
Well, you're not crushing their, you know, their spirits or their souls and just like just always pouncing on them about, you know, when they do stuff. You know, if they do something wrong, you want to explain to them like, okay, you can't do that because of this and I would have this and all that. Kind of giving them all these options to run through their mind so they can use their head.
Right.
You know, and this is, I'm teaching life skills like forever. Like it starts young, but all this stuff you're going to be able to carry through your life. You know, as you get to these situations in your life and stuff, all this stuff will come back to you. And that's kind of how I was raised too, with my parents and grandparents and stuff like that. So it worked well for me, you know, because I don't try to sugarcoat nothing, because life ain't sugarcoating nothing. So I'm different. Keeping it real with them, you know, even if they're kids. And I do that with every kid that, you know, I encounter. I don't butter stuff up, but I keep it real with them and I try to get them to think, you know. Nobody care about you. You got to care about you.
Mm-hmm. And that's really good coming from a father. And, you know, this one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this show is to highlight, you know, because I know the stigma surrounding Black fathers, Black men in general, you know, being absent and things like that. But that's why I really wanted to do this show, because I wanted to highlight fathers like you, you know, who's active, who was active and very still, of course, you know, still active in their children's lives. And they're always going to be children, because no matter how old they get, they're still going to be the children. Right. I'm my mother's baby and I'm almost 40. It doesn't matter what I say, what I do.
Still a baby boy.
That's just the way it is. Right. So you're always going to be children to your parents. But, you know, just wanted to salute, you know, fathers like you who have always been in, you know, kids' lives. I come from a good father. He was always present in my life, you know, with my mom and stuff like that. But so I know that there are good men out there like you. So this is why I really wanted to do the show, to get the stories like this. So let's just say if you had a young man who came to you and said, Nate, all right, look, got my girl pregnant, your father soon. I'm scared, man. I'm shook. Or I'm confused. I don't really know what to do. What's next for me? Like, what would be the advice that you would impart on this man, on this young man?
First, I'll say congratulations. Welcome to manhood. Now it's time. It's about to get real.
Yeah.
It ain't about you no more. It's time to man up. And, you know, like I always keep the door open for if you needed some advice or so. So you can always talk to me through the process and I would give him, you know, advice. But pretty much, hey, bro, it's time to get real. All the childish games and stuff, you know, you got to think about the future of, you know, I don't know if they married, are you going to marry this woman or whatever, or, you know, y'all just had a thing and it was a oops, still, it ain't the kid's fault. You got to be there for the kid, you know, financially, just, you know, mentally, spiritually.
Mm.
I mean, it's up to the kid, though. You know, I can tell them all this stuff.
Of course.
But
of course.
If you're making babies, now it's time to take care of them.
Time to step it up.
You know, even if you're not with the mother, it's your kid. Be the man to that kid, you know, especially if like they came from a broken home and stuff. So they might not even experience a father and don't even know a man a positive role model to be. So it's like, hey, I'll be a counsel. You know, just stay in touch, and I'm always checking on them, especially if I know the kid person.
Right.
And that, pointers and stuff.
And that's important. You know, a lot of, you know, kids and sometimes don't have that figure in their life, right? So it's always good to have different men step up, you know, and be that, you know.
Encourage them, you know.
And that means a lot. And even just in actions, you know, one of the things, sometimes you don't really realize the impact that you have on kids that's not yours. You know, I remember, like, my father used to take me to every single basketball game, every practice, and he would pick up the kids, right, and take them home too. Like, oh, like this person need a ride, that person need a ride. And we have, like, that car of kids, right, who didn't have a ride home from practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to now, I'm in my 30s, and I think it was just this year, I had a friend tell me that, you know, I didn't have my father in my life, you know, but I've always aspired to be somebody like your dad. I was like, huh? And he was just like, yo, he used to pick us up. He used to pick you up from everything, take you everywhere, be a part of your life in school. He used to come to school, you know, like, and I always used to see him, and he used to always take me home. And he's like, now that I have a kid, like, I want to model that. And I was like, for me, I mean, that was just normal.
That was my dad. From start.
Right. So, but it just taught me, like, you never know who's watching, and you never know, like, the impact that you're making on another kid that it's not even yours, just by them observing from that young age, you know? So, yeah, you know, so what you're doing, you know, is really good. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what's like, I guess it's heartwarming, or it's knowing that you was on the right path, even though, you know, you're a young father, young married man, not knowing that if I'm doing the right thing. Yeah, I mean, you kind of know you're trying to do the right thing, but how you planting into these kids, right? Either yours or any kid. And then they come back years later as adults and saying, man, because a lot of, you know, like my girls, when they was in school, a lot of them kids, they was on the system or whatever. They was broken home. They didn't have a father, even though eventually, you know, my first wife and I, we you know, broke up and got divorced, but I still was active in my kid's life, joint custody and stuff. So, I, you know, even though me and the mother couldn't redeem the marriage or whatever and stuff, they still had their dad in their life. I wasn't absent. Mm-hmm. Phone call away, I'm up the street or whatever. You can always access me, especially with these technology we have now. Because I was a truck driver on the road for a minute, couple of years and stuff, but I still got access. You know, we got these phones and FaceTime and all this stuff. So I was always present. He was cutting up in school. I'm on the phone with him, like, yo, you already know. Get your mind right.
Yeah.
This is, you know, you're not raised that way. You don't run that way. Get your mind right. Work, focus on that graduation and all this stuff, and, you know, get out of there. But yeah, then they come back and they realize that, man, we so glad we had you, because, you know, they see how some of their friends turn out without a father or a male positive figure. And it's like they appreciate their dad just being there and talking to them and loving on them and stuff. So it's confirmation that you did the right thing.
100%. And so you bring up a very good point about, even if the relationship doesn't work, the importance of still being active in your child's life. I think sometimes that's where the biggest issues could be. Because it's like the strife between two people mm-hmm. can affect the participation, right, of, you know, their kids, of the kids, of how involved someone is or is not in their kids. It could be the guy hates, you know, they hate the baby, you know, the baby mm-hmm. mother, whatever the case is. So if that's not working, then I won't be a part of life. Or it could be, you know, the mother keeping the father from the kids and stuff like that. And yep. the only persons that suffer are kids. The kids. And right.
It can be lifelong suffering. Life. The kids. Every Big kid time. Takes it differently.
And that's such a good thing to say and to put out there, because I find that it's the parents' ego that really ruins right? The ego and the pride that really ruins the experience that the children have with the parents and the stories that the parents are telling about the other parent, right? And vice versa. You got the dad telling this and then about the mother, the mother telling this and then about the dad. And it's like the children are listening and they have to grow up one day and pick partners and date and be out there, right? And it's a problem, you know? So how, you know, so you have four stepchildren, right? So you have to co-parent, right, with your ex-wife. And then you also have to be a father figure to the new lady that is obviously in your life, right? And with her children. That's a dynamic, I would assume, right? So explain to me first on the co-parenting side with your, you know, with your ex-wife, right? How did you guys come up with a system or a thing to kind of say, children are first? I know this didn't work out, but we need to put these kids first for us, right? How did that come about? Because I think, you know, people that are going out there that might be listening to that are going to listen to this episode are saying, yo, I hate this person or I hate this person. Or, I don't like this person. And, you know, they're going to kind of begin to do things against the other party, right? And it's going to, you know, put a strain on the relationship with the kids. So how did you guys come up with that, a system or agree to say, listen, this didn't work, but kids come first?
Let's see, my dynamics was kind of unique. And so like the first wife, she was, you know, it was rough in the beginning. We had joint custody and stuff. I'd get him on the weekends and stuff. She had him during the week. And I got with my new lady, then eventually got married and stuff. So my new wife is 12 years older than me. So her kids was like, I think when I got on the scene with her back in 96, her youngest was like coming out of high school, going into junior college. And the other girls, the other three girls, they was in the early 20s or something like that, or mid 20s. So I didn't even really have to raise the older kids. And my babies was like 2 and 4. So it was a crazy dynamics. She had adult kids pretty much. I had babies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we had 3 grandsons from one of the older kids. So my kids and the grandkids kind of like grew up as like siblings they didn't have. Little sisters, little brothers, but it was actually like my kids was aunts, grandsons was nephews. So we had that dynamic, right? So I had to be, it's crazy because I had to be a father figure for my older stepkids because their father was absent for since they was young. So I had to be that. I had to be like a new grandfather to 3 grandsons and still had to be a father to my biological. So it was crazy, but somehow it worked out because I'm willing to learn, stretch. You know, it was challenging for me. Because I was used to my nucleus from my first family. So it was a struggle for me to, I was so focused on my circle, wife and 2 kids. Now I had through stuff that happened in the marriage. Now I had to bust that nucleus up. So I'm like discombobulated because I was so used to just the family nucleus here. Now I got to get with this new lady and we got to learn each other. We got all these dynamics and stuff. So it was challenging, but the kids were still always center of like protecting them and their mentality. And you know, I never did bash their mama to them. I don't know what their mom was doing over there, but I'm assuming she wasn't. But and then my new lady wasn't bashing the kids' mother. All we was trying to do is make sure these kids was loved, you know, protected and you know, safe and guided, you know, and brought them up. So now my kids love my new wife. They got the bonus mom. And all the blendedness, they went together because everybody get along and we all love and hug. And it's just all, but you know, it wasn't easy in the beginning, but we just kept with it and made sure the kids were safe, protected, you know, and honor his kids,
right?
By not tearing up the other adults while the adults worked out the issues behind the scenes.
Right.
It's always about take care of the children.
And that's amazing, because you don't see that. I mean, you see that, but it's not like that a lot of times, right? It's guys over here, they over there, and
they shouting up at each other, cussing each other out.
It gets, dude,
what they don't realize is the kids love both of these parents. And it ain't their problem, because you adults can't handle y'all adult world. But the kids get torn in the middle. Like, now I got to pick and choose between my mother and father. My dad don't like my mom. My mom don't like my dad. So I can't, like, love on one, because this might take this one off. And so the kid is in the middle of a confused world. And then they might lash out. They might just be losing in school and cutting up and stuff, because they starving for attention, because the adults still going at it. So we didn't have that dynamic. So it's just, thank God I had a good woman. A new woman that understood. Well, she already raised kids, so she already know from here to there. Yeah, so she was helping me learn the process of them growing from small to adulthoods, and it just it's lovely over here. It worked out, thank God. And then, you know, it's crazy, because when you're coming up, because it actually worked out. We have a smooth thing, you know, because we talk, we understand, and then, like I said, the kids stayed in the kid place, but we also made sure the kids understood rights and wrongs, and we wasn't, like, tearing each other up. Mm-hmm. And then if my ex got out of trouble, until you calm now, there ain't gonna be no beef like that. I'm over here with my new situation, and we running it this way.
Right. Ain't
running that old way.
Mm.
Now everything's mellow. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Everything is flowing and
everything
moving.
Is smooth. Everything
kids
is good.
Grown, you know, they love my new wife, and you know, they get along, and my girls are still, you know, dad, you know, we like talking to you, because you know, you love on us and let us be us, and you don't judge us and condemn us and stuff. It's easier for them to talk to me than their mom. And to talk to my new wife. Well, she ain't 98, so. This ain't no new wife. This is the wife.
Yeah. I mean, 98. I mean, you win already.
Yeah, we got together in 96 and got married in 98. So,
yeah, you're 25 years married, I guess.
Yeah,
this
we
year,
in there.
Right? Congratulations on the 25 years of marriage.
We rolling on round up to the 30 year.
Wow. So, I'm not gonna lie. You know, I'm sitting here looking at you, man. You don't even look like you could be married for 25 years, man. A black don't crack, brother. Well, you know what I'm saying?
This is my second marriage. The first marriage is about 8 years. This one here, you know, since 98. So
that's what I'm saying, man. Like, you out here looking young, brother. So, you know what I mean? Hey, that's keep doing your thing.
Because when your kid's 18, you don't carry their problems. you turn from a custodial parent into a guidance counselor. Hey, you got some bumps in the road, give me a call, I'll give you the shortcut around.
And you still ATM probably, so I mean,
we teach that when you're young. You want something, you work for it. You see what dad doing every day, going to get it.
Yeah you gotta do the same.
Oh, my kids, when I give them something, they surprise. It come out of the blue. It's like, there you go. My God, thank you, dad. I really appreciate this. Dude.
Oh, my God.
Hard work ain't killed nobody. We was teaching them. Because my wife, she's old school. Come from the bottom. She already know. We teach these kids to work for what they want. None of these handouts and free. Look, they need something. They come out to us like, hey, I need such and such. What could I do to earn it? That's the mentality we put in them. Ain't no freebies over here. No, don't spoil your kids and stuff. It's like, no, work for what you want. Appreciate it more better.
That's true.
Everybody just giving you stuff. Ain't no value to it. You know, you blow it, you screw it over. It's like, oh, well.
I didn't work for it.
Got to work for it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more connection to it. And it's like, I appreciate this, and I'm going to take care of this.
No, you're
value
right.
In it. You put some sweat equity in it. Ain't nobody gave me nothing. Now if somebody give you something, that's a bonus,
right?
Don't be going out there looking, help me, woe is me. No,
work Get that working.
That word said, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. So I like to eat. I mean, I got work.
I definitely.
It's all about principles, life skills, man.
Mm-hmm,
you got to
mm-hmm.
teach. Not it ain't just my kid. Any kids in my presence, I'm trying to put life nuggets. You know, skill sets, common sense, wisdom. I'm dropping jewels because I used to hang around my grandma and her old friends, and they dropping nuggets. Ain't no play, no foolishness. They dropping wisdom and information you need, you know, to take you to the level, the next level of life. So that's all I do. I just regurgitate what was given to me.
And that's interesting because normally when you have girls, like normally, like that process is that you just said normally is reserved for the boys. But the girls, it's like, daddy, can I have you? Like, yes, here's everything. Like, here it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so that's very interesting, you know, that you do the same with the girls, you know, because I know a lot of the sons get that. Nah, go out there, bro. But the daughters, they're like, oh, daddy.
But then again, a lot of these sons today is like, especially the single mom raising them. You know, and then so these moms overcompensate by not the father not being there. So they giving them everything, just trying to, I don't know if they're trying to buy their love or just like overcompensate because your daddy ain't here. So I'm going to give you more. And then they, you know, they like ruining these kids and the work ethic and they depending on a female to just provide for them, all that stuff. So it's a lot of stuff we do. We think we're doing good, but we're actually harming them for the future. So you got to prepare them for the future. We just have them for what, 18 years, 18, 20 years. You got to, it's like, I heard a saying from one of my motivation speakers years ago. He said, you got to teach a kid how to walk and then you got to teach him how to walk away. They can't stay with you forever. Own. Yeah. You know, to be independent and be a functioning citizen in the world, you know, that's productive and that can provide for themselves and their family, future family. So. So that's I'm always word. On that mindset, and that's what I'm trying to give to any youth.
Mm-hmm. And when they have that mindset, at some point, you and your wife get your life back.
We don't have no kids here. We got a little dog.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you get your life back.
Now they come through. We have gatherings and stuff, but everybody independent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, standing on like my old grandma used to say, every tub. Back when tubs used to have the four legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every tub got to stand on his own bottom.
I swear, grandparents be having the best sayings, man.
Dude, nuggets, life skills.
Man. So the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. Talk to me about that, how it started. What's it about?
The podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do a podcast, but in my mind, a lot of time I'm an introvert. If I don't feel like talking to people, I'm to myself.
Got it.
I have wonderful conversations to myself. Peace. Thinking, always thinking, analyzing stuff and just watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the podcast come about because I got sick of politics and all the crap was going on all these last months and stuff. I'm like, man, this world is nuts from the leadership point of view into the social media, the entertainment world. Everything is just nuts. You know, God fearing man. And so I see all the wrong in the world. I see all the crap that's going on, the propaganda and stuff. I'm like, man, I want to do a podcast, but I can't just hold a whole hour conversation, me just talking on anything. I need some type of structure in it. So right. I said, well, maybe I can interview people, everyday people. They got stories. And, you know, nobody ain't talking to the everyday man in one
way. Right.
So let me bring in some people, you know, not like independent artists that's got clean music. So I'll bring in some artists with, you know, independent music and stuff. We share that. Authors, you know, self-publishing authors. A couple of name brands pop in every now and then just to, you know, kind of balance it out. But most is everyday people, small business people, somebody with some type of product or service. chefs. I got a list of people. I'm on season two. I'm over about 70 something episodes. But yeah, I started the podcast just to be keep my sanity and looking for people, giving people us, we give each other us and our life skills and our talents and gifts on our level, because all that stuff and on the world stage is trash. I didn't like that. So let me make my difference on my level, impact the world with realness of everyday people. We don't have no agendas of, trying to fool you and mislead you and all that stuff. So that's how my podcast started. I started last March of 22. So now I'm in season two, I said.
Congratulations.
The Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast is, you can find it anywhere. Podcast is found all over the world. The last time I checked on this one app I'm on, I'm broadcasting in 30 different countries and territories and over 411 cities. So we're reaching out there.
Wonderful. So you mentioned clean music. So I know, so you got the keys back there, speakers, and all, you got the setup. So you, I would assume that you've grown up with hip hop. Could be wrong. But I assume you've grown up with hip hop. I
I was
think,
around when we first started.
yeah, hip hop is celebrating 50 years this year, right?
I'm 55.
So with that said, why have you gone the route of interviewing people with just clean music, or if you're doing music yourself, doing just clean music, right? Why have you gone that way versus since you've grown up with hip hop? I know the hip hop that I love, it's the 80s, 90s to early 2000s, that type of hip hop. Now I feel old saying this, but now it's a little different. But the hip hop I love, man, they said a lot, lyrics,
Mostly conscious, make you
lyrics.
think.
It wasn't clean though. It wasn't
It
clean.
was
And it was,
real.
and a lot of it was gangster rap too, right? Which a lot of people would say that, glorifies a lot of different things. So why did you go like the clean hip hop Broadway versus saying, let me bring back the sound. Let me bring back that 80s, 90s, 2000s vibe. Like, why did you go to clean, like the clean route way?
Well, first of all, you got enough trashy music out there. They get spotlighted on the world stage. I know it's a lot of clean, conscious rap, gospel rap, just music that don't get the attention it deserves. Great songs, great tracks, great lyrical, So, being a man of God, I tried, like I say, I'm passing through this life. When I'm dead and gone, it's going to be a trail of what I did left behind, my legacy, in other words. So I'm thinking beyond my physical life. What I leave here is going to be representative of why I was put here. So I want to make clean music. I want to make conscious music, gospel music. I want to make music that impacts people's lives for generations beyond my physical existence. So that's why I do my type of music. To wake people up, to encourage people, to inspire people. And then I also want to find that type of person that does that music and highlight them and bring them on. And it don't even have to be conscious. It just be nice music with no cussing and just, beautiful music. I like music. I'm from New Orleans. I like all kind of music. I listen to all kind of music, but I promote kind of music that, that I'm consistent with what I do. So
That's
if
dope.
you cussing and you defaming black women and all that, I'm not promoting that. I'm not bringing it on my show. I mean, I don't knock it. You do your thing. You got to respond. You're responsible for what you put in this world.
Of course.
Me, I just want to highlight positivity, uplifting, and stuff that inspires, encourage, and just I want a 2-year-old to the 92-year-old to be able to listen to what I make and not cringe, but enjoy it and learn something. So that's why I went with the clean music. And then, like I said, I just want to highlight independent artists that's making good music that's clean and positive.
So
That's my take.
I like
and
that.
I'm the 80s, 90s type rap. When you hear me, you just say, oh, this is old school, like Sugar Hill Gang type stuff.
I was listening to a clip the other day. It was KRS-One. I think he just put out an album or something like that. And he was going off, like, on the state of hip-hop and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, like, he's one of them. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
he's one of the great thinkers.
Oof, when you listen to him, you're like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
You know, so, but I understand. And the one thing that you said is legacy, leaving a trail behind.
We all don't have one.
Right. And
wait, let me tell you before I forget this. And another thing, like, I got my little grandkids, they want to rap or sing and stuff. And then they come in here with, this music of the world. Like, they want to cuss and talk about drugs and sex and F this and all. I'm like, yo, you sure you want to put that out there? Because once you put it out there, it's out there. It ain't never coming back. It's out there forever. You want that to be a part of your, you know, I know you're young, but one day you're going to be my age. And then you're going to have kids and grandkids. You want them to listen to that and duplicate that? So I'm trying to get them to think. I'm not trying to discourage them. I'm just saying, I don't want to promote that. I don't want to record that. And then, and kind of, they're going to find somebody to do it anyway. But I'm just saying, what if you come into me, you can make all that good stuff, but let's make it clean. Let's make a clean version. I'll do the clean version and help you push that. But I'm not trying to pump that poison in to the minds of these young people that can't realize that it's noise and not lifestyle.
You know what I think? It's also what they see, right? So what Christian hip hop or what clean artist, right, aside from Will Smith, well, he's not a Christian artist, but like clean artists, like, you know, when Will Smith came out, he didn't curse, right?
Heavy D, clean, a lot of them was clean.
Well, no, what I mean is how many of them reached that stardom, right?
Oh yeah,
that stardom. There's a lot of clean rappers, but how many reach that stardom of like, I'm making real money. I'm on award shows. I'm getting contracts, downloads.
Then again, to get to those levels, you're gonna have to sell your soul to get up in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that, or do you just enjoy making good music?
Right.
Do you want that fame? You're going to give up something to get to those levels.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just walk in that door and make all that fame and money and stuff without, you know.
Yeah, I think when it came in, timing too. I think when Will Smith started to do it, I mean, he was a young kid, and it was hip hop at the time, right? But again, a lot of the hip hop artists didn't consider him real hip hop either, right? So you got that going on too. Like, what's real hip hop? What's real rap? Right. Yeah. Heavy D, one of the greats, right? Mm-hmm. One of the greats in our eyes, right? But again, that stardom, right? Like, it's hard, is what I'm saying. I guess when you look at it from a kid's eyes, it's like, but look at all of these young artists and that's doing this type of music, and look at the cars, look at the houses, look at the awards, like, look at all of this stuff, versus when they look at other artists that are nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to that level. So I guess they could be looking at it that way as well too, which is appealing to the eye, right? So I think maybe if one of the clean artists really break out and has a good run, you know, and gets contracts and gets the awards, and maybe people might not be so afraid to, you know, to go in that realm, you know. But I don't know. It's tough.
That whole industry is possessed, so they're going to allow to come out what they want to come out. You can be better, one of the best, cleanest artists with the dopest music in the game. I mean, there's a rapper out of New Orleans called D1. He's gospel, but he's a spitter. He can flow and bow. But he came from the ground up. He doing it from grassroots, and you know, you got Toby,
yes.
Wee. I can't say his name.
Yes.
He's dope. Coming out of the mud.
He's dope. Yeah. He's dope. Yeah.
So they out there, you know, you just got to have the work ethic and, you know, with social media and stuff, even though they still can shadow ban all that stuff. But, you know, the powers to be is going to allow what they allow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But just still make what you love. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just clean.
No, 100%.
I might just have Every now and then I have some little light cuss words. It depends on what I'm talking about on the subject, but it ain't just vulgarity through the whole song and just defaming my people and stuff and all that.
So one of my favorite artists, hip hop artists, he's probably one of the cleaner. He's not 100% clean, but he's one of the cleaner is Common Sense. He's like one of my favorite artists.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite artists of all time for me. But I listen to his albums and you just feel like, damn, like this guy, boy, he's saying a lot. Mm-hmm. He's spitting a lot. It seems like for the culture too, obviously. Like, and it's just, it makes you feel different. You know, like I said, he's not all the way clean, obviously, but he's one of the cleaner hip hop artists that actually made it. He was smart with going through acting and doing, you know, that to get the bag, right? But but yeah, he's one of my favorite artists too. When it comes to hip hop, though, like he's one of them ones.
I got a couple of singles in my my playlist.
Yeah. So when it comes to music, right? Since you go the clean route, so who inspires you? Like when it comes to, you know, with you doing music and beats and things like that, like, hey, who's some of the people that inspires you?
Like I say, I like all kind of music. Mm-hmm. If it's good music, it gets the vibe, everything. So mm-hmm. all musicians inspire me. I take from everything, you know, all type of music I like. So like when you hear my music, it ain't no certain style. It's all my music is different. Every song is different. All the beats and everything is different because I like music. I like grooves and I like vibes. And the vibe and the beat, it just dictates how I spit my rhymes and tell my story and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like I say, all good music inspires me. I don't have any specific like one cat.
Right.
All genres of good mm-hmm. music, you know, encourage me to make. Yeah. Because I just want to make, I like catchy hooks.
Mm-hmm.
I like beats that make you, you know, get you going. And once I get you going, you got the hook in your head. And then
the hooks crazy.
That, you know, when the song is off, the hook's still going in your head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's interesting. When you make music, right, do you look at what appeals to like the young kids too? Because I know sometimes when you like 80s, 90s hip hop and things like that, but then when you're making music, you might want like some artists say, you know what, I kind of have to appeal to the kids. So let me make a drill beat, or let me make, you know, one of these newer beats and stuff like that, that, you know, nah, you like you give it to. Okay. Yeah, see.
It's kind of like I'm not a freestyle rapper. I got to mm-hmm. be inspired by something going on in the world or something going on in my life. And then I get a beat. So I'm not really like guided by what people want to hear. I make it what I feel, what's going on with me or what's downloaded in me at the time in life where I'm at. And that's what I create.
Love
so
it.
If it's rocking me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm feeling it, I'm creating what I feel or what's coming out of me.
Mm.
And then that music gonna find the people that need to hear it.
So,
that's how I make my music. I don't make it trying to find a specific crowd, right, or genre or person.
Understood. So where can they find your music? I mean, I know you got some albums. So where can they get your music, man?
Anywhere where you can find music. But I go, my music name is Nate Smooth, SMOOVE. So I'm the Nate OG Smooth. Nate Smooth, but there's two other little young cats. I think a white guy and a younger cat named Nate Smooth. But I'm the dominant Nate Smooth because I've been out since 2000. Some of these guys probably was in diapers when I started. But yeah, I've been making music since 2000. So Nate Smooth. I'm on YouTube, Nate Smooth Media.
Okay.
There's a couple of videos on there, Nate Smooth Media. But you spell the smooth. Everybody always spells smooth the regular way. SMOOTH. No, it's SMOOVE.
VE.
VE.
That's it. VE.
Smooth.
So now, what if somebody hears your music and they say, yo, I want to collab, I want to do something with them? How to get in contact with you for that?
Reach out at me. I haven't done that in probably a year and a half or so since I started my podcast. Mm-hmm. But reach out. You can hit me at nnjpodcast@aol.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find me on Facebook, Nate Smooth. What else?
Instagram.
Hit me up in the Instagram, Noble Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
On the YouTube channel, you can hit me in the notes or whatever. Eventually, I'll get around to it. But I don't know. I'm in the podcast. I'm in the live good. I'm transitioning to.
Yeah, you transitioned into this
doing
world.
Something else. I done made, like I said, over 20 something years making music on what was going on, and it's like I didn't talk about everything. I'm like, you know, until something hit me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be moved. I understand that.
Yeah, I got to
be
moved.
Nah, I get it.
I'm not
totally
a fad. I'm not a fad songwriter. I'm a life songwriter.
Mm-hmm. But you also make beats, right? So,
yeah, right? I got to feel it though.
You got to feel it. Gotcha.
Yeah, and it takes time, and my day is full. My day is full.
Bet. So, kind of a similar question. Kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier. So when it comes to the state of manhood and everything that it is and that it's not, there's a lot of different definitions nowadays of what a man is, what they're supposed to do and everything else, right? So my question to you is, what is manhood for you? Like, what is manhood to you? I know women have their own definition. Men have different definitions. What is manhood to Nathaniel?
Let's see, manhood with me, you know, just being a man, you don't really think about it. You just be, you just do, do what's right by people, by children, protect, service, being humble, being a provider of those in your care, just work and be a role model.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like being a gentle giant, not, you know, they be saying toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
toxic I don't know what that is. All I know is men do what men do by nature, but you don't want to be reckless with it.
Right. I mean,
and you want to lead and, just, you know, just being a caring, a caring soul and just strength when you need to be strength, you know, strong.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned,
you don't think about it. You just, you know, you just be who
just
you're
do
supposed
it.
To do. Yeah.
Got you. So you mentioned providership, right? Now on social media, there's big debates about what providership means.
Well, you know,
some people will say, you know what, providership is financial. Once I put the money on the table, household's taken care of. God bless.
That's one part of it.
Mm-hmm. So that's where my question is going. So to you, what is all providership? Everybody has different meanings of what that is. Some men feel like, you know, I put the money on the table. You figure out the rest, right? And some people think it's more things, right? So what do you think providership is in men?
Well, you want to provide financial, since we're in this type of world where you need money to survive. You want to be able to provide for, you know, food, shelter, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to provide security and strength. You want to provide guidance.
Mm.
You want to provide a loving environment, a safe environment for your family.
Mm.
Wisdom. Love. Because, you know, we're supposed to be the head. I ain't say the boss. Just the head, leadership role, or it's just being the steadfast pillar of strength. And you don't even have to flex it. You know, when you know your position, you don't have to flex it. You just be who you are. And, you know,
that's
anybody with any common sense should respect that.
Mm-hmm. I don't have when to you know say your I'm position, you don't have to, flex it.
I don't have to beat my chest and say I'm the man. Y'all know I'm the man. The way I carry myself and the way I respect everybody in my circle. So I don't know. It
Dope.
just
I like it. I
time to
like that
flex, but
part.
you know, you just provide that stability. Just
I like that.
solid, you know, not wavering and all that.
I like that.
Grounded.
Yeah.
It's you know,
I
multitude of
like that
things
part.
and providing.
Yeah. I like that part when you said that, you know, like you don't like once you know your position, you don't have to flex
Yeah.
it. I like that. You know, I think sometimes,
Just being a humble giant, you know.
right? And I think a lot of people, once they get in a position, they learn their
Some of them abuse
personality.
it. Yeah.
Yes.
Ego out of
Especially if
trip.
they're bringing, especially if it's a money thing. You know how that goes. Like if I'm bringing the money, then I own everything and everybody. And sometimes that's, well, in all times, that's not right.
Yeah,
Right.
that's I was from men in my family that way, but you know, as you mature and get wisdom from on high, gotta know how to utilize that strength without damaging the people around you.
I like that too.
Oh man, you
Yeah.
gotta have self-control too.
Yep. In your emotions and in your anger and
Yes.
in all of those things.
Like I said, you gotta be like solid. You gotta be grounded. And you know, I'm grounded because I talk to God a lot. I get guidance from on high, like, hey, I don't know it all. Guide my steps and my mouth.
Oh man.
And
That and I like that. Just because, you know, I think when it comes to marriage, you know, you've been in the game 25 years. So
plus.
plus, yeah. So you've seen a lot. And when the marriage doesn't have ego, I think it flows better. I mean, especially for us, you know, man, we have ego. Everybody does, but you know, we really have ego with certain things. So,
Yeah, you know,
see.
I heard a little a definition of ego is edging God out. You're
Okay,
gonna
that's
have
a
some
bar.
problems. Yes. You married, you're gonna need to put God in there because that's two powerhouses, especially if you're strong-willed people. Two powerhouses trying to blend and work together.
Ooh.
You gotta know when to shut them up. You gotta know when to talk.
Know when to hold them, know when to
And
fold
know when to fold them, yeah.
them.
Gotta
Classic
use
song.
wisdom, and the only way you can get that wisdom is you gotta talk to your creative because stuff can go awry like that. You can tear down the whole building over a misunderstanding,
Yeah, sometimes you
ego
gotta
and
take your
pride. So,
frustration to God too and just say,
oh
"Oh
yeah,
God, God, look, if you don't come get me today,
there's gonna be some furniture moving around here.
there's gonna be something. There's gonna be something in here, please. Please hold my peace, Lord. Help me, Lord, because I can't do it in my own strength."
That's all I'm saying.
But listen, definitely appreciate you coming on the show. You have an open invitation to come back. Definitely appreciate all of the insight, the jewels, the nuggets that you've had imparted on this show. I know I've been blessed by it. I know that there will be people out there listening that will be blessed by it as well. Definitely appreciate it. And but most importantly, thank you for raising incredible kids. Thank you for being a part of their lives and being a shining example for all. So definitely appreciate that. This is Father's Day month. I don't just say day. It is Father's Day month. We celebrate fathers every day over here, but it is
Yeah.
Father's Day month. And definitely want to highlight some fathers like you, sir. So definitely appreciate you, man. Please go check out the website, check out the podcast, Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast, out on all platforms. And please go support as much as you can. Download the episodes, check them out. You know what I mean? Definitely support this black man. Sir, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you too, T Hill.
Yes. Yes, sir. This has been another edition of Conversation of the Heart. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you next time. Peace.